In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Tonight we celebrate the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. And before we get into the feast day, I just want to remind you, as we did on Sunday, about some of the coming things that we have to look forward to. One is that on the 20th of this month, Father Frederick Gruber of the Diocese of Pittsburgh, this esteemed Marian scholar who wrote that great book that I've mentioned to you many times, Keeping Mary Close, will be spending time with us. He called me up way back in September and said, Father, you've got two parishes. I have no assignment over Christmas. Can I take one of your parishes? I said, you can have anyone you want. Do you want to come spend time with us? He said, I've not spent much time with Fort Sumner. He came with me one time long before, back in 2016, when I was your pastor the first time. And so he spent a little time and gave us a day on Mary. This time he's going to spend quite a bit more time. He's going to give a Advent night of reflection and confessions in Fort Sumner on the 20th, the evening of the 20th, which is a Tuesday. Then on Friday, the 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve, he will be here with us to do the same. The theme will be Prepare the Way of the Lord. Prepare the Way of the Lord. He's going to talk to us on how the Lord wishes to prepare his way within us. We didn't talk, but that is what I spoke about last week, right? So we will have that time together. Then when it comes to Christmas, we'll have a Christmas Eve Mass, and we'll have two Masses on Christmas Day. And if you want, we're even going to have a Christmas Midnight Mass, although that hasn't been fully worked out just yet, how we're going to do it, because he'll be here with us. And in addition to that, he will spend the rest of the time, the 26th through the 30th, with us here as well. He wants to give us a retreat on the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And so that'll all be in store for us. More information to come. It'll be a Mass every night, and with a talk as well for each of you. So whoever wishes to come can enjoy what he has to share with us. He said he'd also like to go and visit homes and to particularly bring you Epiphany blessings, the chalking of the doors, which I often do. And so he said he'd like to do that if I'd give him permission to do it early. And so of course, Father Fred is a joy. You'll enjoy him. I'll firm things up, God willing, tomorrow if I'm able to get a hold of him in his busy schedule of what he's doing. So stay tuned for more information on that. He won't leave until the 4th, though, so he'll be with us all through that time, particularly here in Fort Sumner with you. We celebrate this feast day of the Immaculate Conception. You remember, the Immaculate Conception shares for you and I three messages about who God is. You have to believe, you have to understand three things about God in order to understand how the Immaculate Conception is possible. I'm going to tell you two saints, great saints, doctors of the church. They poo-pooed the idea of the Immaculate Conception because they couldn't get it. These are doctors of the church, some of the wisest men ever known. St. Thomas Aquinas, he didn't see how it was possible. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, great doctor of the church, gave us the Memorare, deeply loved Our Lady. Could hardly get through a sermon preaching on her without tears streaming down his face. Yet he didn't see how this was possible, how this was with Orthodox faith. We'll get more on how that is. But the first reading was all about the fall of man. The fall of man, right? You know who the fall of man is. Angel Gabriel, you remember the first sin? We talked about that this weekend, didn't we? Yeah, we did. We talked about that, and you learned a lot about that story of Adan y Eva. And they ate something that they shouldn't have eaten, and that made everything else go terrible, right? And who was the creature that caused Eve to fall? And where's the snake? Remember we showed you the snake? Where's the snake? Did you say next to Father Senna? That's correct. Good job. The snake is next to Father Senna. It's not related to Father Senna whatsoever. He just happens to be seated there. That's right. Right underneath Mary's feet. And what is the snake chewing on? That's right. Chewing on the fruit right there. Did you know that Satan is chewing on a fruit underneath Our Lady's foot right there? You didn't know that you had this whole time you've been in this church? All these many years and you never saw that before? That's what this feast day reminds you and I of. That's the victory which is won. You see, all of humanity, because of Adam and Eve's sin, lost. We lost everything. We lost grace. We lost relationship with God. Isn't that a curious thing? And in that reading, that we see that Adam, every single evening, walks with God. In the cool of the day is what it says. Think about that for a moment. How glorious would that be to walk with God physically, really, actually walk with God every single day in the afternoon? Not just to go into your prayer corner and have a beautiful experience. It's great. Not just to go there and be before the Blessed Sacrament to say, wow, I felt like I've journeyed over, to hold the rosary. And that's where Our Lady really does lead you in that direction, through that beautiful mysteries which we go through, to walk with our Lord, walk with God, but to really, to actually walk with God, knowing that you were in perfect perfection. Adam experienced that every day. But he lost the ability to experience that because of sin. From that moment on, from the moment of his fall, never again did Adam walk with God. Never in the rest of his experience, for the rest of his day. If you read the scripture, he lived for 900 and some years. It's a long time to live. Are you going to live that long, Rita? Don't know. I'm sure even if you lived that long, your son Steve would not be able to get enough of you. He would want you to live even longer. That's how every son is who loves their mother. And yet, here, that long, great time, 900 years, Adam was without walking with God. That's what sin lost for us. That's what sin lost. That should have been the state. That should have been the state of every single one of you who is in here, to be able to walk with God in that real, actual way. But sin robbed you and I of that. Adam and Eve's sin. And that helped you and I to participate all the more in sin. So we lost something so great. Well, guess what? God gave a reset button. Said all of humanity lost every bit of the ability to live in that grace. And what happened in the Blessed Virgin Mary, that God allowed that once again through a prevenient grace. That's what we celebrate today. It was in 1854 when Pope Pius IX recognized for the whole of the church, saying here above now, above all times within the church, we need to get back to our mother. It was prophesied before that he himself would declare this, Mary, as in her Immaculate Conception, to be incumbent upon all believers, and when that happened, there would be released into the world such a powerful grace to fight against the forces of evil. And so it was. So it was that that movement allowed for a great Marian age to all the more come into being when he declared that great dogma, which we celebrate today. And Mary, she is the Immaculate Conception. She is she who is immaculately conceived, which means what? That she was preserved by a prevenient grace, saying that she would... when all of humanity was afflicted with sin, all of humanity had original sin, but only baptism could save you and I from that. Mary was preserved even without the grace of baptism. Now, how is it that God was able to do that? St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church, the Western doctor of the church, said it's impossible. That can't be the case. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who loved Our Lady intensely, said, no way, and he thought those who would proclaim such a thing were to be heretics. It was because these great men did not understand three things about God in their fullness. Something that every little child comes to learn among us. First, that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. That God, secondly, is all-good, omnibenevolent. Thirdly, that God lives in eternity. Those are the three things. God is omnipotent, meaning that he can do everything, absolutely anything. Nothing is impossible for God, except one thing, that is to sin. Every other possibility is open. Just as young Angel Gabriela said, God could even take a gun and shoot it. Although he never has, but he could. Secondly, God can do absolutely anything. And so could God do anything? Yes. Secondly, that God is all good. That he is goodness itself. That goodness is the effusion of his very being. That he is always kind, which means that he wills the good of every individual person, every one of his creations, down from the smallest little amoeba or single-celled organism, all the way to the greatest creature you can imagine, to the most in love with God human being upon this face of the earth, and the one who most opposed him in the greatest way. God's love is always for the goodness of those and desires the salvation of every single one, and is always offering opportunities to come back to him. That's God's goodness. He wants what's best for all. Thirdly, God exists in eternity, the eternity of God. That means that God doesn't exist in time and space like you and I. He exists in eternity, meaning that everything that's ever happened in the past, everything that is present now, and everything that is in the future, God is able to step outside of that, step back from that, and see everything in the moment. God lives in the eternal now point. There's no such thing in God's eyes as past, as present, or as future. Everything is now. And so since God exists outside of that, it means that he can look at the past and experience it totally as it is here. He can look at the future, things yet to be for you and I, and they are here to him. He can look at what is going on now for you and me, and that is everything for God. And so he can look into the future and say, I willed from all creation to make my son die upon a Roman cross that all human beings would know just how much I love them and what my work of salvation is. And the great grace that happened here, I can take it and shoot that grace anywhere I want, because I exist outside of time. I can take that and put it here. And so at a singular moment, meaning it happened only once, once and for all eternity, God saw what was necessary for the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the perfect vessel of his grace. As the scripture says right there, you who are full of grace, you who are the encapsulation of all of my grace. For that to be able to happen, God said, I must preserve her totally, so the container is totally pure, that will hold me. She who will say yes, I will make her the new Eve in perfect perfection. And so the humanity got a reset button in her so that she was preserved from grace and continually, even though she would have been tested in the sense that all sorts of evil would have been around her that throws you and I off from our earliest ages, and yet she refused to say no to God for an instant, just saying yes. So she is. It's possible because God can take graces from any moment and apply them in any other moment. She was saved by Jesus Christ in a prevenient way. The sacrifice which he offered there, because God exists in eternity, which is outside of time, can grab and apply just as he will, because he's totally all-powerful and he's all-good, willing the greatest gift for all. And that is the greatest means for your salvation and for mine, that we would have an Immaculate Mother. It means something for you and me, not just to glory in the glory of Mary, and we can sing her praises and laud her as highly favored among all women because she is indeed full of grace. Because she's full of grace, it means that she is powerful for you and for I. How is she so powerful for you and I? Because she is the full of grace one. Her Immaculate Conception shows you and I that any time we have need of anything within the world, any grace, any trial, any hardship that comes upon us, any temptation which seizes us, we're able to always find a means of escape. He lets out an escape route for you and me because of Mary. Anytime you and I have recourse to her, it's the exact opportunity for us to receive every single strength possible in her who distributes all of God's graces. Because she is full of God's full graces. It means that any time you call upon her, she's able to give. She's willing to give. Just like a good and solicitous mother will always spend her entire last breath just to preserve the happiness of her children, all the more perfectly this perfect mother conceived in grace. Should give you and I confidence whenever we face any sort of difficulty, anxiety, temptation, or hardship, even when it seems impossible because the world is falling totally apart, which it seems to be at every moment, yet God is all-powerful. He exists in eternity, so there is nothing but the now from him, and he can apply any sort of grace, and because his goodness, he wills the salvation of all of us, and that willing gave us an Immaculate Mother who is full of grace for you and me. So when we call upon her, she is swift to answer. That's why we have that beautiful prayer. Pray it often. Remember what it says there. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, anyone who implored your help, or anyone who ever sought your intercession was ever left unaided. And so because of that, you and I can be inspired with the greatest of all possible confidences, that whatever it is that we beseech her, though we be sinful, though our life be totally lived in sorrow, we know that we can receive that which we ask for in accordance with God's will when we receive what God has given from the treasury of the graces, which happens to be our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hold on to those medals of the miraculous medal, those medals of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, because she says, through this, I will to work so many great miracles for you. And to pray that prayer, where it says, O Virgin, you who are conceived without original sin, pray for us poor sinners who have recourse to thee. Each of you who are here, have supreme recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the Immaculate Conception. Remember that because she is the Immaculate Conception, you have access to all of the graces of her Immaculate Conception. She is a treasure house of graces, not just merely to do the greatest gift of the world, which is to bear Christ, but also has all those perfect graces which you and I can draw from in any moment of our need. Calling to mind whatever struggle is going on in you, and each of us has at least one which is nagging us greatly. Let's commend that to our Immaculate Mother, whose statue is lit up with great candlelight as she crushes the head of the ancient serpent, still nibbling upon that forbidden fruit. Let's pray that memorare together. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petition, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.